A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast. From me, Paul Machin, and that man right there, Mr.
Who's
Chris Pager.
Struggling to hold a burp down. Hello.
I got away with the two if I hadn't said that out loud. Kick-off question, Chris, this week comes from John Bright, who's John Deggs on Twitter. Would you rather have Moreno play left-back every game for the rest of the season or listen to Jermaine Genus commentate on every game for the rest of your life? Now, I don't know who got the shortest end of the straw here, because, or the shortest straw, or the shitty end of the stick.
I got to see both.
Yeah.
I got to go to the game and watch Moreno play in the bottom corner, right where we were. So nice and close up, you know, we were 10 rows back, in the corner of the stadium where he was playing left back. And then I watched the full 90 minutes back this morning with Jermaine Genus commentating.
We've got a question. It's on the Q&A for later, like in terms of the commentary. I don't think I guess you wouldn't have seen like the halftime analysis as part of that.
No, I didn't.
It's like they hadn't got the memo, or they'd been told it's the FA Cup on the BBC. It's like, you know, when ITV have got England friendlies,
yeah,
and it's their only footy, so they make it out like it's the biggest thing that's ever. And it's like, we've watched people analyse Liverpool games all season, so we're going to analyse it the way we'd analyse a Liverpool game. And it's like, yeah,
is it poor?
It's like the players, they're not happy with Klopp. They're not playing for the team, and they're unhappy. They're unhappy with Klopp. That's why they're not playing, and blah 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 blah. And it's like, lads, we've literally just thrown 11 players at a pitch, and it was just Alan Shearer was a massive fucking bell end, and Jermaine Genus was doing this all game long. It's like, I don't understand why Liverpool. Why are the fullbacks? Why are the defence playing like that? Why are the fullbacks playing so far up the pitch? If I was Fabinho, I'd be saying, come and sit in here with me. And it's like, that's how we play. So Jermaine Genus was a bag of balls. You can mute Jermaine Genus ultimately. Moreno for the rest of the season.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want Moreno to play left back for the rest of the season. And I'll tell you why. Of all the players who, and this is no slight on Alberto Moreno, by the way, of all the players who were missing yesterday, I thought Robertson was the biggest miss.
Okay.
I genuinely thought he is the guy who changed how we move the ball forwards more than any other player. Because, yeah, I understand that Salah and Firmino changed the game when they came on, and they absolutely did. But we never had that outlet down the left-hand side. And Moreno's supposed to be an attacking fullback. Now, maybe he was told, listen, you're playing with a DM centre-back, and you're playing with Hoover after 4 minutes, and you're playing with Camacho, so you need to just curtail it a little bit and play a little bit more defensive. But what Robertson gives us, and I mentioned this on the final word, Paul, is a world-class fullback.
Yeah.
And Alberto Moreno, I would argue, wasn't quite good enough for this side in 15-16, when we were conceding between 50 and 60 goals a season. Uh-huh. He's certainly not good enough for a side with the best defensive record in the country. He's gone from not being good enough for a side that were conceding 50, 60 goals a season to not being good enough for a side that conceded 10 in 22 games. That's the gulf. That's the difference for me. It's no slight on him. He's just not good enough.
We said this about all these lads. Well, we'll come on to it. We're going to talk more about the cup stuff in a minute. Just lastly on this, there's nothing wrong with any of the individual players that Liverpool put out there, but you can't make magic. Those players are not good enough to form a team for isolated games and expected to perform at the highest level. We've said that. We know that. It's like when we looked at the Chelsea League Cup game. That back five was absolutely fine. It's Premier League quality. It was Premier League quality back five we put out. but we're miles better than that.
Exactly.
And so you can. There's nothing wrong with. Nothing wrong with Moreno's an absolutely fine left back, and you know, and okay, yeah, that was radically makeshift we saw against Wolves, but yeah, these players are all fine, but you can't put difficult. I was saying yesterday, I wasn't even asked about the Robertson thing. If you just were capable of putting Fabinho in midfield and putting Mo Salah in instead of Origi, then that team probably would have won that game because. We had no control over midfield, and we had no one capable of holding the ball up and being any threat at the other end of the pitch. But yeah, you put them all together, and they're all just a gang.
That's it. Listen, the back five that played against Chelsea were good enough to get us top four, right? Two seasons ago. The back five that we've got now are good enough to challenge for the title. The back five that we put out last night, I don't know where they finish in the Prem.
No, it's not high up. You know what I mean?
But individually, you could drop Moreno into our normal back five and he'd be all right for a couple of games.
Yeah.
And individually, you might throw Fabinho in for one game and he'd be all right for a game. Exactly. You know what I mean? But absolutely. You can't, as you say, you can't put all five of them together.
No, absolutely not. So news in brief, we'll talk more about the game in a minute. Nathaniel Clyne joined Bournemouth on loan. Did you see all the Neil Warnock fallout from this?
Yeah.
It's just glorious.
Love it.
Love it, love it, love it. And part of me, if I didn't have a strong opinion about Neil Warnock, I'd feel a little bit for him.
But you do, so you don't.
But I do, so I don't. Yeah, absolutely. And then within the space of mere hours, we'd sold Dom Solanke to them for 19 million. we've gotten so good at selling players.
Yeah.
So very good at selling players.
Bournemouth as well, to be fair. Mm. Listen, I think, you know, last night could have been a game where Nathaniel Clyne would have got minutes.
Mm.
And he'd have been a good player for us. I kind of think about the type of manager that Jurgen Klopp is here. And for me, there is a little devil that sits on my shoulder sometimes and whispers to me, I want Klopp to be more ruthless and I want him to keep that player until the end of the season, until we're completely done, and wring him out and then spit him to one side. And then the other side is going, no, because Jurgen Klopp is the manager that he is because of his entire makeup. And that includes that being a humanist and caring about his football players. And, you know, every single player in our squad, you could argue, wants to play for Liverpool Football Club, wants to fight for that shirt, wants to be in Jurgen Klopp's side. And that's because of the person that he is.
Yeah.
And the person that he is lets players who are unhappy go.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to deal with that because we're getting... Look, it's a little bit of rough.
Yeah.
We've lost our third choice right back.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of smooth this season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you just, like, Klein's comments about it told me everything I need to know about that. He's just said, I'm at that age, I wanted to play football. Look, he has actively chosen to leave the champions elect of the Premier League, a side that is at the minute is the favourite to win the Premier League, to go and play mid-table Premier League football.
I wish more footballers would do that, you know.
Well, yes and no. Fair play to him. Look,
we've had too many. He'll happily sit on the bench and run the contract down. Where's Lazar?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's Lazar?
But yeah, true. I mean, but the thing is, you can go. Look at it from both ways, because he's clearly good enough to play for Liverpool.
Of course he is.
And it's the Danny Ings thing as well. You know, Danny Ings would have been on the fringes of Liverpool's team this season if he wanted to stay, and he's not, and he's doing fine. But he, don't use your neighbours. I'm annoyed because there's part of me that thinks, oh God, just take your five appearances and collect your Premier League winners' medal and all that kind of thing, like. I think even with a world where Daniel Sturridge is probably going to him, mate, it's not the best idea to go and play for someone else. He's thought, no. He knows he's going to be moving from Liverpool, and he must be thinking, why wait? Yes, I'll have a Premier League winner's medal, but my talent might have gone, my stock might have fallen, and Bournemouth, he must be looking at it now, at 27, he's 28 this season, he'll be thinking, I put a good year in at Bournemouth, and I might have one more shot at an Arsenal or something like that further down the line. So, yeah,
listen, I think, you know, we've all been part of teams, some of us have been part of teams that have won stuff. And I tell you what, if you're a substitute and you make a couple of appearances here, there and everywhere, you're not showing the grand kids it, you know what I mean? You might show them it to show them it, but you know in your heart of hearts that you didn't help as much as you wanted to help with that. So go and do something that means something to you and will mean something to you. Fair play to him. I don't mind it. You know, I've made peace with that move, it sounds.
Unless Klopp's gone, you will fall one game short of being able to collect the winner's medal. And he's gone, oh, fuck you then, mate. I'm off. Kamil Grabar has gone to the Danish Super League on loan.
They're all just sharing him.
Yeah, absolutely.
What team did he go to?
As long as he gets games, Chris.
Where did he go?
AGF Aarhus.
I read this on, I think it was News Now. Was it yesterday this one broke? And it was like, 6'5" Liverpool star moves. I was like, okay. Who is it?
They did that for the next thing as well, for the Jardia. 6'4" Liverpool midfielder on the move. Yeah, Jardia's gone to Reading.
Not Fabinho.
No. So yeah, Grabar's gone to the Danish League. Fine.
Is he 6'4"? Jardia.
He's a big lad, like.
Is he? Yeah.
The Grabar thing. I looked in and I was and he's go. Oh, I was like, how many clubs need a goalkeeper in January? And if he's going, you'd imagine he's going to play, because otherwise, what's the point? And at the minute, he's in rotation in the under-23s with Kelleher, and that's not sustainable because you don't get enough games at that level anyway. So yeah, fair play. Well, you know, I don't think that's necessarily an indictment of his quality. Mm-hmm. More, he's probably read.
Well, you're almost developing both of them that way. Yeah, you're hoping, aren't you?
Exactly. And yeah, Ajari to Reading, fine. I think we all expected him to go out on loan again after coming back from Rangers, so fair play.
Question for you on Ajari, yeah. Do you think he'll make it at Liverpool?
No, I don't. He's fallen foul once again of, I don't know what position he plays in. He's another one of those lads, and the footy's littered with them, and you seem to get these in spells of, his best position's probably in the 10. But if you want
to be
play
a world-class 10, you have to be world-class.
You've got to score 15 goals a season and get 15 assists a season if you want to play 10 for Liverpool. And he's never, ever, ever going to be at that level. Like, you know, we don't know. Maybe something will happen. He's still young enough that it does happen. But and I'd be made up if he does. But wouldn't be putting any money on it nor losing any.
No, I can't see him making it at Liverpool. And you know, I'm gutted for him.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because you know, he came out of nowhere. He wasn't ranked. He wasn't rated at all by the academy. Klopp saw something. I think he saw that he was big. He's got good feet. He's a talented lad. But who knows, we'll see. Reds transfer roundup show, go check it out on the redmentv.com this week. Looking at all of these things and a whole lot more, you know, really assessing the rumours in and out. We've seen Eder Militao linked this week. We've seen
Bruno Fernandes as well.
Omar being very, very strongly linked to what was that one?
Fernandes from Sporting Lisbon.
Sure, why not? Yeah, all that bollocks, all that complete and utter horseshit, and more discussed in depth and detail. So get over to redmentv.com, sign up, start your 3-month trial, and get your hour-long fix of Liverpool transfer news.
It's good.
It is very, very good. Chris, out of the cup. This for me felt like another I felt similar at the end of this game than I did at the City game. At the end of the City game, in so much as, but in completely came at completely different angles. I was disappointed because I don't like seeing Liverpool lose games of football, but when I looked at the City game and saw us go toe-to-toe with a really good side and lose on very fine margins, I've seen this happen time and time again. For me, the second we decided not to start Virgil van Dijk or Alisson in this game, I'm not even asked about Salah and whatever, because we've seen us rotate. It told me everything. It told me Klopp's standpoint on the FA Cup. So
what do you think that was?
That he didn't prioritise this competition at all.
I disagree with that. I think he did, and I think the fact that he brings both Firmino and Salah on proves that he wanted to go through in the competition.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I think that's right. You know what I mean? I think, you know, he doesn't do that otherwise. Because why bother?
To be fair, he references this Pugs match, doesn't he? And it's the question is that if that's Wolves in the Premier League, because his big talking point was, it's been a very intense period, so I had to rest players. Would he have gone? I think he'd have rested one, or he might have rested one or two. Like, you might see Origi, Sturridge start that game, fine, because we've seen both of them get game time. But I don't think he goes that
Of course
radical.
He doesn't. But that's because his list of priorities run Premier League, Champions League, FA Cup. It's not to say that he doesn't want to go through in the FA Cup. It's to say that his priority is further down
that
list.
But that's my point.
Your point was, wasn't it, you literally just said that he didn't prioritise this in any way, shape or form, but he wanted to go through the competition.
But if he, what I'm saying is the level of priority that he's placed upon it informed my feelings on it, because if I would be, so therefore, if he'd gone for it, fully gone for it, the way that I expect us to go for it at Brighton at the weekend, then I would be more upset with the performance, I'd be more downbeat, etc., etc. Whereas I can look at that, I've seen that Liverpool performance more times than I care to remember. It used to bother me when we were a cup side, because the cups were always our best chance of winning
this
stuff.
Is our best chance to get a huge priority this season in the Premier League. This season is boiling down to, and the Champions League doesn't run it close either, because we've never been in this position before. We've never been 4 points clear, and it's literally just in our hands. And Jurgen Klopp knows that, and he has to get the rest in for the players where he can. And unfortunately, we came up against a side who are very good in the third round of the cup.
Yeah.
Now I imagine he'd have played a very similar side if we'd have played against a Reading, a Newport, a name your team.
Yeah,
just like Pep Guardiola and Spurs, they played some fringe players, but played some strong players as well. You know what I mean? And we're just unfortunate that the draw's not done us kindly there.
We have put our foot to the floor for December to get to where we are, and that was the gamble. That was the gamble we took. We refused to blink first. It's kind of, this is obviously dampened, and the mood's dampened, I think, because of the city result to some extent. But we played ourselves into that position to take. We capitalised on things by going very, very strong for that period. And that's what I mean. I'm disappointed.
I've seen it all over Twitter, Paul. He's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't, because you don't respect the competition if you field any youngsters, but you don't blood youth if you don't. I mean, when do you blood youth? Is he supposed to blood youth in the game against Manchester City?
Exactly.
I mean, he's not. No. Let's be honest. No. So, as the media, you can't have it both ways.
The fascinating thing about this, and why it's all borne out, and why, again, any arguments about was going stronger and doing whatever are totally thrown out the window 4 minutes into the game when Dejan Lovren gets injured.
Even before?
Well, yeah, but the second he gets injured, that's a third round game. You've got no choice but to play a third round game. You're in it. You're in the competition, unless you know it's Man United and you decide to go to the World Club and you can bow out, which will never happen again. You've got no choice. So I can accept Dejan Lovren getting injured, because you had to put we're so bare bones. He ended up having to play. There was no choice in him playing. But Henderson was playing instead of him, apparently.
Yeah.
Mad. Absolutely mad.
Well, listen. Van Dijk was injured.
Yeah.
He missed the game because of a knock. You know what I mean? And what, is he supposed to put Van Dijk in the squad and put him in with a knock? No, he's not. He's going to put Dejan Lovren in. You know,
well,
injuries happen in football.
He's put Lovren in for Henderson, hasn't he?
It's crazy. It's just unfortunate. I don't know what the problem is with Dejan Lovren. It didn't look on the telly coverage like Klopp was particularly happy with him. Because it didn't look to me, and I watched it back a couple of times, I couldn't see Lovren sprint in the first 2 minutes, but I do see him waving his hand over. I wonder, and I am just hypothesising, that he just didn't warm up right. And I think that's why Klopp might have been getting really angry about it and stuff, because he was just shouting at him.
Yeah.
You're 2 minutes into a game, you've not sprinted,
yeah.
and you've pulled something. But then equally, he's going in there going, I'm the only centre-back. And the last word that the fitness coach might say, you feel fucking anything, lad. You get yourself off the pitch.
Yeah, maybe.
It could be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could be. Like, I mean, I can't imagine he's not what, because you don't, it's so, everything's so, so regimented, isn't it? Like, you mean, they literally go through the process.
You just don't see injuries in the first 2 minutes like that, do you?
No, but
because it's so regimented and stuff.
The wider point, though, is that, and that's why, when we brought Salah and Firmino on. Fine, with 20 minutes to go, because I think Klopp, and Klopp said it as much, I'm not saying he didn't want to go through, I'm not saying he threw the FA Cup by any means, I'm not saying that in the slightest. Because if he goes through, our injury problems at centre-half will hopefully only be short-term. A few more games to play Camacho in and Jones in, and Lallana needs game time if we want them to be sharp. Origi Sturridge, the senior lads who started, and a couple of others who just missed out, probably could have benefited from having the FA Cup.
Okay, right, they could have. They were all shite.
So
he let us down more than the youngsters, by the way.
So like I said, I think they were happy to go through, but what you get into the fourth round, and let's say like Lovren's now injured, so let's say Lovren misses 2 weeks, so therefore he misses the next round of the FA Cup, and Van Dijk has to start. Well, what's to say Van Dijk doesn't pick up a daft injury in that competition? Because of where we're at right now, if we were 100% fully fit, if we had Gomez fit and Matip fit, I'd be far less arsed, because you'd be able to put a much better side out than we put out there, and you'd be able to see the real strength in depth. But Paul, we are so threadbare.
But Paul, the media doesn't see it like that.
No, it's not the media's prerogative to see this. But the thing that annoyed me, and I tweeted this at half time, can't wait for Twitter to regurgitate all the bullshit analysis being given by the BBC, who are going on like Liverpool have gone full strength and are getting the pants pulled down here, when they're not. And you know, and again, this is why we're here. We're not here to sugarcoat it, but we're here to look at it from the fucking perspective of people who watch it fucking week in, week out, and are not fucking thick and can look at that side and go, that Liverpool side got beaten by Wolves. Well, no shit, we had a fucking child playing centre half alongside our DM, and a fucking grown man child at left back who's nowhere near good enough, and a fucking other child playing at right back, and fucking Simon Mignolet in goal, and James Milner playing the DM. Like, again, individually, fine. They've all had good careers. Some of them will have good careers. Some will have better careers than others when they hang up the boots at the end of the day. But
even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That Wolves side was basically Wolves' first team. A handful, a smattering of changes therein, playing at home in a game which was a massive thing for them, particularly given the result that was beating them a few weeks ago.
Listen, the best thing that Wolves had, and they did make a couple of changes, of course, but they had the spine, and that was the thing that got them through that game. You know what I mean? Having Cody, having Neves, having Moutinho, and having Raúl Jiménez, that is something that maybe Klopp looks at and learns from. But equally, we have found something that's working in the Premier League, and it's come over the last three seasons, and he now has a settled back five and he has his settled front three, and the rotation comes in the middle of the park, that you have to still rest those players at some point. This was the game to rest them.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen it, like, there's a chance, because we, as mentioned, we rested in rotation against Burnley. And we then needed to go up a gear to stretch that and to get that game put to bed, of course. But so we might well have done something similar. But like I say, it was for Klopp, and he references it. He's saying, like, I couldn't start the kid. Basically, he felt like he couldn't start Hoover because he'd get accused of devaluing the competition. Like, that's the devil in the deep blue sea. Because quite clearly, the Premier League has to be the priority. And I said at the time, I don't mind it. I like the FA Cup. I've had some great times in the FA Cup. Some great memories as a kid and as a young adult and growing up. It's the trophy I've seen with my own eyes has lift the most. But the three FA Cup finals, 1-2, lost one, and the loss hurt as much as it was an absolute, you know, incredible experience to see us win it. We've been too long without a title. And if this... Hang on.
The FA Cup, did it save Arsene Wenger?
No,
so stop pretending like it's going to fucking do anything, please, exactly. Because it does absolutely nothing. How many did they win on the bounce?
It was three or something like that.
Three
in a small clutch, if they won them all.
You know what I mean? It didn't do fuck all for them because the Premier League's too important compared to the FA Cup now. Do you ever see a manager go, we're not going to try in the league this season, I really want to pin me up on that FA Cup? No, diabolics. No. Tell you why, because the Premier League's more important than a trophy to go for.
Actually, you do. It's Roberto Martinez.
And what happened to them?
Ask the people of Wigan what it's like to be in the lower leagues with their FA Cup and see if it sustains them. Great day out. It's a great day out. But no, you're dead right. I just, if Liverpool were to fall short, if Liverpool got into multiple rounds of the FA Cup and then fell short, I personally would look back on recrimination with that, and I would be looking going, would we have been stronger for having had another weekend's rest?
I said that on my match, Jax. I'm sure you probably said that on yours, Paul. Come the end of the season, we might be looking back at this Wolves game and going, blessing in the skies, thank you very much, I'm glad that that happened. Yeah. Things do happen for a reason, do you know what I mean? And us getting knocked out of the cup, it hurts now because I hate seeing Liverpool lose. I hate seeing Liverpool lose in the manner in which I thought that we lost. And I didn't think the effort was good enough. I didn't think that we played well enough. Because I know it's difficult for those players, but I'm talking about your James Milners, your Naby Keita, your Daniel Sturridge, your Divock Origi, your Jadon Sakiris. They weren't good enough, and they should be good enough.
Yeah.
They should be able to put their foot on the ball, whether they've got a few issues behind them or not. You know, for me, what annoyed me about Sakiri was that he took it up a notch when the other lads came on. That pissed me off. I was happy to see him start playing. Lads, you want their place in the first team. You should be playing when they're not. Yeah. This is your big opportunity to shine. And not wait for your mates to come on and then start playing it round and knocking it round like it's all fun and games.
He was fucked by...
By the midfield. And the midfield was fucked by the Lovren thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I understand fair, how it all works
not
out.
Not even that, like the Origi and Sturridge.
God. I can't do this dance again. I've done it for an hour and a half this morning, mate.
If only. But that's the thing, isn't it? Salah and Firmino make everything easier because you've got good players who are better at holding the ball up, make better runs, make more intelligent runs,
move,
just better at football,
try and head the ball
ultimately. Like, yeah, exactly. So yeah, but yeah, the thing, I walked away from it because I'd set my mindset pretty much. I'm amazed it was as close as it was. I thought this had 2-0 Wolves written all over it. We crash out and everyone we shrug our shoulders and go out with this. So I went into it. All I watched for that game was Camacho. Ultimately, when he comes on, Hoover, Curtis Jones, and in all of them, I saw things that made me think, great, cool. I think we've got another talented crop of young lads coming up. I'm sure there's only people, but I don't care. When you watch preseason games and you don't look at them for the complete performance because you're not going to get a complete performance
and moves and stuff that you might see more of in the future.
You're not going to get a complete performance in that regard. And people can talk about Man City rotated and Spurs rotated. They were able to rotate within the formula that they already use by and large, and City's rotation. We talk about rotation,
just bringing this £50 million player. Just bringing this one. To be fair, we had one as well that we brought.
True enough, but it's they bring in a couple of lads who they've been rotating in all season long, in Zinchenko and stuff. He's the next one, isn't he? He comes in for all of these games, and he comes into a back four that's got three of their main guys in whatever he does it, etc. That defence was a fucking joke for us last night, and I choose not to get annoyed by it because it's fuming at the fucking wall.
In such simple terms, you've got Dejan Lovren, who's the leader of that back line, because it ain't Moreno, it can't be Fabinho, and it certainly wasn't Rafa Camacho, because he wasn't part of it, to be perfectly frank. He was 30 yards up the pitch most of the game, and then Dejan Lovren goes off. Well, now it's the blind leading the fucking blind, because you trust in Simon Mignolet to tell you what's going on, and he doesn't open his mouth.
Yeah.
So what are you supposed to do there? And then you've got a DM who's essentially now the guy who's got to lead your defence. It is one of those things. You had a 16-year-old, you had Fabinho, and you had two attacking fullbacks.
Yeah. absolutely.
against the side that's seventh best in the league this season or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we've done loads more chat on this. Chris, as mentioned, has done the Final Word show.
It was a belter of a show, though. It was really good, actually.
Yeah, if you want to check out the Final Word show, if you're not done with this, if you want to get a bit more chat on the young players and what have you, and some of the things that went right and some of the things that went wrong, and then get over to the redmentv.com. Here's a little bit from that show.
There was nothing going on ahead of them for the first half, at least. You know, when, like I said, when those two came on, Sal and Firmino, there was a little bit more. But the first half overall was so poor as a game of football, because from our perspective, there was nothing going on ahead of the midfield to make anything happen.
Yeah, is that something that you agree with?
Yeah, do you know what I think with Sturridge? He reminds me a little bit of, and you're going to laugh at this now, he's got a bit of Messi about him and a bit of Charlie Austin. They both walk around the pitch. What Messi does, Messi walks around the pitch into pockets of space and causes absolute chaos. Very intelligent. Charlie Austin walks amongst the back four, and that's what Sturridge is starting to do. I thought pre-season he was going to be dropping into pockets and causing trouble because he hasn't got the pace no more, but he's not even doing that. He's not doing that pocket, that kind of thing, like the Messi thing where he just walks into the space, causes madness. He's doing what Charlie Austin does and walks amongst the back four, hoping for a scrap in front of goal. It's so frustrating.
Cool. Yes, theredmentv.com. It's free for the first month, so go over there. Have a little look around, try out all the content. You can get it in video form if you're into that kind of thing, and you can get it in audio form as well. So if you love a podcast and you like to get
love a podcast,
if you want it on your commute to work or whatever, however you commute or why ever you commute, then you can do it.
Or if you're just having a little run around the park.
Well, just having a
because no one runs through the park anymore, Paul. People just run around parks.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Fine. Yeah. It's more solid footing, I guess, like, you know, falling over too many
more cars.
Parks.
Too dangerous for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Get on there. It's fantastic. Brighton then, Chris.
Brighton.
We've got a culture fixtures coming up now, which are on. This reminds me, this run of games reminds me very much of that spell at the start of December when, on paper, you go, yeah, absolutely fine. I don't think any of these should be underestimated. I don't think Liverpool will underestimate them. Brighton are actually a really decent side this year. They're not going down. They're going to be in that. They're in that clutch of mid-table sides who are okay. They've got a better defensive record than a lot of the teams actually in the top half. Team better defensive record than like United and Arsenal and what have you. Got a good manager. Got a couple of good players. Glenn Murray's having a great season. They shouldn't be underestimated. So I don't. What type of Liverpool performance are you expecting
effort.
In this game?
That's what I need to see at this point. You know, we've had two defeats. You can rationalise both of them, and I have rationalised both of them. I think most Liverpool fans have as well. But you need to get back on the horse now. You need to go for it. You need to prove that that's a blip, and that's all it is. You need to prove that. Actually, I say a blip. We've had one poor performance. We've lost two games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you've got to go out there and you've got to dominate them. You've got to get back to that possession football, but possession football where you can hurt a team. Mm-hmm. You know, we had loads of possession yesterday, but we weren't able to get the ball forwards. And I think, you know, seeing how the team reacted with 20 minutes to go when Firmino and Salah did come on, there's no confidence lost there.
Yeah.
We got to get in there, we should be well rested, and we just got to go and just grab them by the throat as early as possible and make them think that they don't have a chance in this game, like we have done for prior to Man City every Premier League game this season. And that's what we've got to do, just kill their hope as soon as the game starts.
I totally agree on that. This is just getting back to what we do. And look, This is one of those moments in the season where I think the Liverpool side of the last 25 years conspires to make this really hard work, or conspires to do something to make, you know what I mean, to maybe flaps a little bit under the pressure here. What this Liverpool side needs to do, and that's why I'm not what I'm looking for. A big statement win would be lovely. But I just want us to. I'm just fine for us
little
getting
2-0.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a little 2-0.
Exactly.
Love that. Clean sheet. Thank you.
Just get in. Get the ball. I don't think they're going to have any major designs on, you know, coming flying out at us or whatever. Do what we've done all season long. Get in the game. Keep possession of the football. Knock it round. Craft opportunities. Take opportunities. Take 3 points. Go home. And obviously, again, the way the fixtures falls very, very favourably for us, a game with Man City playing later in the weekend. So, yeah, that's you're dead right. I think there'll be a few people. I don't want to speak for everyone, because there's always people who think, even in a minority, thinking completely different ways, and, you know, whatever. you're hearing fans of other clubs and you're hearing pundits, and they're the people who don't pay attention to Liverpool enough, but they see
loss.
And they go, look at Liverpool's form. The way, you know, you cast a cursory glance and you look at it, you'd look at Brighton's form and you'd be like, oh, look, it's been a bit up and down here. Oh, look who they lost against. Well, that must mean they're shit. We know it, we see it. I just want us to insulate against that more than anything else, because I just think it's boring and it's lazy, and I would like someone else to go back to being the topic of conversation, because we haven't really been it in a negative sense, because we haven't lost enough games for it to be us. But there's always one of the top six or seven clubs as a little dip of form at any given time, and they become the talk of conversation. Oh, such and such is a bottler, such and such is this. Let it be someone else this weekend. Let it go back to being Solskjaer.
And I think that it will do. I have confidence that this side will just bounce back, because I don't see that the confidence should be dented in any way, shape or form. As I say, the performance against City was brilliant. Yeah. We were good.
Yeah.
We were just beaten by a better side on the day.
Yeah.
And you could even argue, some people have argued that we were the better side. I personally didn't think so. I think they just about shaded it. That happens at those types of grounds, you know what I mean? They're a quality side. They were playing at home, and they had to win. Their backs were to the wall.
Yeah.
Now Liverpool have to win, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think now it's our turn to play with our backs to the wall, and we know in those situations under Jurgen Klopp, we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the good thing about it is now is that, and this is where decisions made in this week around the FA Cup game, we won't know whether they pay dividends until you see how we perform and how much is in the tank come the closing minutes of this Brighton game. Because if we can get those 3 points, we go open that 7-point gap up against City again, and then you're starting to look down that, just the fixtures just start to ease off.
Yeah.
You know you've got a break weekend coming up. I think it's around the 27th, because there's now no FA Cup, so you've only got a handful of games left of this month. After that, you're going to be in a very strong position. You've got a bit of warm weather training looming, and you know, it means that we've got proper preparation time that we haven't had. We were able to engineer 8 wins in December without having proper tactical training. Now, that's the same for the vast majority of clubs, by the way, but none of them were not beaten.
Exactly, and that's the thing. And just as important as that preparation time is your recovery time.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have so many more recovery days than the likes of Manchester City and Tottenham. And, you know, people can balk at that all you want. It's a part of football now, whether we like it or not, and it's a huge part of football.
It's one of the worst shouts in football is, well, they get paid all this money. Great. It's like, and it's only ever used to justify opinion. It's never used to justify fact. It's just, and it's normally something antiquated or toxically masculine. I've said all that really well.
Good words, terribly spoken.
I should have just stated it. I kept it simple. Fuck. It's normally things like that, like, you know, your money is supposed to buy you perfect supreme fitness and happiness. And it doesn't buy you either. It just alleviates a lot of the common problems that us normal people have to face. So Liverpool have got this. I've got this now where a lot of that team, the Alisson, Van Dijk, you know, the...
Oh, we're spoiled with Alisson. I know we've finished the Wolves stuff, but my word, have we been spoiled with Alisson?
Of course we have. Absolutely. So spoiled with Van Dijk. You know, we've got world class, spoiled with Salah.
You know, I heard an interesting thing. I think I was reading it on Twitter, and it was about like the second keeper and all that type of stuff. Like, yeah, we need a better second keeper, and I agree with that. But it's taken us like 30 years to get a really good one keeper. Like, I'm not being greedy on this. I'm totally fine with just having Alisson for the time being. Like,
Sam, he's absolutely fine, isn't he? He's absolutely fine
for a team challenging for fourth. He's fine.
He's only going to go to.
He also got better in my head for not playing.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to not in that. Yeah, look at what happens to Liverpool goalkeepers who move on. You either end up at a piss poor level at the Premier, a lower end of the Premier League. That was a bit offensive to say piss poor. Your career fizzles out to nothing, or you go and sit on the bench for the top Champions League side. We've seen a couple of them happen. Pepe and Jersey being the perfect examples of that. You can't buy a second. It's very difficult to buy a second choice goalkeeper. And Mignolet's just fine, Carrius, mate. Absolutely fine. I'd still rather have Carrius on the bench. Only messing. Interesting one. We'll do more on the build-up show for this, so that don't do tune in for that, for the video and the podcast versions of that as well. But yeah, it's funny that this was the game last season where we played the most makeshift back line I'd ever seen in the history of Liverpool.
Until Wolves.
And then we absolutely walloped Brighton everywhere. So don't be shocked. This is exactly the same this time around. questions. We're going to be doing an extended version of this podcast, or an extended 15 to 20 minutes at the end of it. It's its own show. It's called the Q&A. That's on the website, where we answer more of your maddest bollocks questions. But anyway, RDO Riordan, would you take Coutinho back if possible? I have been asked this so many times. There was about 10 people asked it in various forms and different structures of sentences. Not for me.
I would. If he wants to come back, and if you pay about £5 million.
Okay.
I think I'm joking.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. 15.
What would you? What? What?
He's better as an attacking midfielder than what we've got right now.
Yeah.
And we're pushing for a Premier League, and he knows the system. And he knows how to be a part
of
the system.
Does he know the system, though?
I think he does. I think he knows how to play a left winger. I think he gives us some cover for Mane, or he might even take Mane's position. You know, they were sharing that workload as well as him playing in the three last season, weren't he? If you wanted to switch it back to a three for some games, we've seen him do that. He could certainly play the 10. That might free Firmino up to go into the 9. I think he'd give us a lot of options in the running, and I don't think, like, it's all well and good saying, let's go and sign an attacking midfielder, but we know that Klopp needs to work with them for however long.
Yeah.
I think you can just expedite that process with Coutinho, and if you can reintegrate him into the side, and it's a big if, because of the shit that he caused us. Ultimately, if he comes in and starts playing for the bird on the front of the shirt, then yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I'll never be his biggest supporter ever again.
Mm.
But if he helps us to a title challenge, or he helps us win a trophy, I'd soon forget about the loan deal for Barca.
It's an interesting point about the integration thing, like which is not something I considered. But I think the flip side to that is my chief concern with it is the back end of last season was built on galvanising everyone around him, and it depends what's been said. You know what I mean? Like, if it's like, fuck him, we don't need him, get him in the bin because we're stronger and better without him, and then you're like, we really need this lad for a title run in.
Thankfully, like a lot of football players and a lot of sports players at that high level, like I watch a lot of the NFL stuff tonight, and they just seem to be really thick.
Yeah.
Like the message that, you know, you watch those NFL behind the scenes, all or nothings and all that type of stuff and all that, and it's just, the managers literally give the same message every season. Everybody doubts you. You need to go and prove people wrong. And it seems to work all the time.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like you can get a group mentality is much easier to change than 32 individuals. Yeah,
just don't
do, you know,
it in
what
the
mean?
Same hotel in Spain that you did it last year. Yeah. And you said everyone was shit, and I was like, this feels really familiar. Oh, Phil, what are you doing here this time?
Here's the difficulty, and here's why there's no right answer for this question. It's because we don't know the inner workings of it. We don't know the inner workings of the squad. We don't know the inner workings of the coaching staff. And we don't know the inner workings of the management of the football club in any way, shape or form.
If you were getting back Phil Coutinho as if he'd never left...
Of course you would.
Then all day long.
Exactly.
Because he was a world-class footballer in our side.
Exactly.
It's that thing. For me, it's that every manager's messages eventually fall on deaf ears, and there's a fear that you expedite the process by if you've gone, this guy's lovely.
You're hypothesising, and I'm hypothesising,
yeah,
and that's why there's no right answers to the question.
Yeah, definitely. What?
Just a secondary question. If rumours were true, would you be asked if he went to United?
If the rumours are true, would be asked.
Oh yeah, they'd be asked if he went to United. That's like stabbing me, walking away for 6 months, me just starting to recover and coming back and stabbing me again.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's an interesting poser, because it depends on what if they're looking at like loan or they're looking at. I would never go anywhere near the fee that they gave.
Yeah.
Now, if you told me for £70 million, you could have Phil Coutinho back. Probably, yeah. But then when you start to get above and beyond that, that's yeah. when I start to blink.
Yeah, I think so. But like, listen, Klopp knows the player, doesn't he? And that's what it will come down to, won't it? You know, I think we're quick to forget sometimes that although he treated us poorly, you know, he had that thing at the start of the season with the back pain and all that, and then obviously the January. Those few months between the start of the season and January, he was top draw for us. Absolutely brilliant. He didn't want to be there, and he still was able to perform at that level.
Yeah.
I think he could do it again.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Chris, you were at Molineux last night. Dylan Curtis asks, do you think the grass was cut correctly?
I don't know. I was too far away. I've seen that video by the rap and stuff. And listen, I respect every person that was sat on that. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I respect their opinions. I don't know is the honest answer to that question. Because I've never been to Molineux before and I don't know the normal length of the grass.
Yeah, no, I don't even know the length of my own grass.
Mitch. Fucking long, Paul.
Yeah. I don't know, my wife cuts our grass, be asked. Mitch MJB 1995. Would you rather do all your shit for the year over a 24-hour period, including all consistency, etc., or retain your normal routine? Discuss.
Okay. It was a bit of a struggle for me.
It would be.
So I like efficiencies in life, shall we say.
Okay.
So to be able to just write off 24 hours and get that shit done, literally, I like the idea of that. But now that I'm a dad, those little bits of quiet time that you get every day, you know.
But you'd be able to go and do them without the annoyance of having to have a poo.
I wouldn't tell anyone. You just flush the chain, throw a bit of toilet paper down there just to cover your tracks.
Okay.
Maybe have a little... Wow.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm doing that then, Paul.
Sounds like you're kind of doing that already. I don't get me wrong. But imagine, because you basically have to be locked away for 24 hours. When does that ever happen?
That's cool.
Yeah. The only thing is that having had...
poo dungeon.
With the window open.
Could you imagine me like that Wetherspoon thing? Do you remember the piss dungeon in Wetherspoon?
I wouldn't want to be in... by the way, that's not like I've ever...
That's something that we read. We weren't a part of.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be in either of the toilets in your house for this, by the way.
Oh, no.
No, I'd need warmth and
I'd probably
to stretch
just
out.
Hotel room, to be honest with you. Too late to the hotel.
Five star.
My toilet's tiny. I'll just probably just 24 hours in there.
I'd stretch me like so.
My ma's under the stairs, like fucking like that for 24 hours or something. I'm booking
again,
a hotel.
His mum's not under the stairs.
No,
he's
saying, God, she's not. She's not Harry Potter.
His mother's house under the stairs.
Yeah, they have a toilet.
Under the stairs. So there you go. That's the answer to that. Let us know your answer to that in the comments. We have got the subscriber Q&A coming up following directly on for this, where we answer more of your questions, including why does Peter come in a square box? If we were going on a lads' holiday, who are the six Liverpool players who choose to go with you? What roles will they play and why? Best and worst football pundits and commentators. Who would we have dinner with from any player in history of football? Talk about the FA Cup and injuries and transfers, potentially whether we need to upgrade on anything. Talk about centre backs, because you know everyone wants to talk about that. Best and worst away grounds and most interesting person we've met through Redmen TV. Get over to redmentv.com, sign up, get involved. We shall see you there. Thank you very much. Walk on.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.